Hey yo, and here we go with the post-WrestleMania edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey yo, I'm Mo, and I hate to let you know this, Addy, but unfortunately it's now We Talk Entertainment.
We Talk Entertainment.
Yes.
Well, Entertainment Mania is now in the books. Oh my good God, is it ever in the books.
Thank God, because that means it's past us and we don't have to watch it again.
Oh, okay, right now, over under... this WrestleMania 27 or WrestleMania 9?
WrestleMania 9 or you know what? This still had one match I think was a very good match. WrestleMania 9, you know, the main event was like a 2¾ stars, and that was like the second best match on the show. And like the opening match, I think it was like a 3-star match.
Yes.
So that, And, you know, the production levels and stuff have improved. So I'm going to go with this one, but Jesus Christ, not by much.
Well, there were girls at this one.
Yes, yes. Well, where were the girls at the WrestleMania 9?
Yes, that's true. Well, I don't know. I don't know. Cleopatra. Anyway. All right, so we're going to run down the card. Overall thoughts, Mo. Overall thoughts.
Well, are we going to start with overall thoughts, or are we going to wrap up with that?
We can wrap up with that.
Okay. Let's start it this way. We got a scoring system here at We Talk Wrestling, because We Talk Wrestling is always bringing the innovation. We, our team, bring it almost as good as somebody else who brings it. But right now, our innovation is...
That was stupid.
Yeah, well, that's why I say we almost bring it as good as other people, okay. But we really don't.
Continue.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. Anybody's listening to us, I can't fucking believe it. But anyways, we have... If something was great, we're going to call it a vanilla midget. Or the excellence of execution, either one. Because vanilla midgets always had great star matches or excellence of execution. This is our rating system. It's like 5 stars, but that would be... vanilla midget, we'll call 4.5 stars, and excellence of execution would be 5 stars. 4 stars would be hell yeah. 3 stars would be you smell what the Rock is cooking.
Yep.
2 stars would be Cena sucks.
Cena sucks.
And 1 star, which is the lowest, we won't give 0 stars. 1 star would be a fire Russo.
Yes.
So we'll be rating everything on excellence of execution, vanilla midget, hell yeah. You smell what the Rock is cooking, Cena sucks, fire Russo. Those 6 ratings, basically. And let's start then with the opening match. Going through the entire build-up through the match, let's quickly run down Edge versus Alberto Del Rio.
Yeah, the show opened with the World Heavyweight Championship match. Of course, Alberto Del Rio winning the Royal Rumble, and by virtue of winning the biggest Royal Rumble in history, you got to curtain jerk WrestleMania.
Yes, yes, because that's how it's supposed to be.
Yes, that's how the advertising goes, I believe.
Yeah. So basically, yeah, I mean, the build-up to this thing was they were trying to continue to keep Alberto Del Rio strong for a long time. He had injured Christian, Edge's best friend, leading up into the Mania match. It was his destiny. He had been a well-pushed, well-designed character.
Mm-hmm.
Came into the thing, and only until a couple weeks into the show, they introduced late on, in the show, Brodeus Clay, who was his rookie on NXT,
yeah.
In order to really have a guy who could do the job for Del Rio to keep Edge strong going into the show. A lot of speculation on what role Christian would play. Christian has an issue with Del Rio. Would they pull a swerve and have him kind of screw his best friend, or what was going on there? And essentially, it was quite a good built feud. It really got over it was strange how Del Rio was getting pinned by Christian a couple times late, but other than that, I think they did a good job at getting over the danger of Del Rio's finishing hold. So I think the build was good leading into the match, which was not a terrible match, but difficult to – but nothing really stood out as far as a good match really generally in this Mania. So if I say it's not a terrible match, and I say it's 2.5 stars, that's where most of the matches were falling tonight, in my opinion. So I would give it that kind of you smell what the Rock is cooking rating, kind of in the middle there. What do you think?
Well, I think it's between a Cena sucks and a smell what the Rock is cooking is really what it is, because they – you know, the whole story, I disagree with the build-up. I think they did get the finisher over for Del Rio, but I thought as soon as you brought Brodeus in, to it is when it started to lose a little steam to me.
I think I just enjoyed the raw him going off the air, putting the arm bar on both guys.
Yeah.
Made him seem dangerous and like a chicken shit heel at the same time.
I've just really been bored with it for the last couple weeks. Okay. Because it just seemed to me like, you know, what else are you going to do? And then they went out there, and the crowd really didn't get into it.
Got a massive pop, and then they just died.
Yeah, and
that was kind of a theme for the evening, was they would pop hit huge for the entrances and then not react much during the match until a spot where they were supposed to react would come up.
No, and I mean, yeah, and Edge came out, and of course, they had their little bit of back and forth, not too terribly many high spots. I mean, Edge managed to counter a couple submission, the cross-arm breaker and over into, what does he call that, the Edge-O-Matic or whatever his... whatever is his sort of reverse sharpshooter type move is, and then Edge managed to get the win, and then they destroyed Alberto's car. Afterwards.
Yeah, yeah. And that was one of those strange spots and one of those moments that I think was just supposed to entertain the crowd and pop the crowd, but really it was just a moment that didn't need to happen on Mania. It should have happened on a SmackDown and went on for a long time. And I think, again, you have Christian out there with – there's a crowbar and he has a lead pipe. Christian never uses the lead pipe, so of course we're all going, oh, he's got it so he can turn on him, and then he didn't.
I thought the Christians were out later.
Well, that would have been the singing in the main event.
Right, but – the only thing I popped for, and I called it right before, is when Edge went to the top of the car, I said, elbow drop, and then he actually did an elbow drop.
Yeah, that was hilarious. That was funny.
That was tremendous. Yes. So that was our opening match.
Like a match where you're going, oh, this feud must continue coming out of Mania. This feud must continue. Well, we beat him, and then, you know, you got the beating up of the car, and it didn't feel like...
Alberto was basically caressing and
almost
staring
crying at the car
at the Rolls Royce there and that was the opening match. We should mention,
you're right, I got out of order because The Rock actually opened
and
hosting
and
the show,
and he came out and led the did his a little bit of his shtick, led the crowd with some he said wrestle. I guess he didn't get the memo.
He said wrestle.
And
WrestleMania, he would say Russell. Crowd would say
crowd
Mania.
Crowd would say Mania.
He would say, and then Yabba. Later on, Yabba. The crowd said Dabba. Of course, you smell what The Rock is cooking, and the millions and millions, and all his catchphrases. And he was basically saying they were there having fun. He was there. He mentioned John Cena only saying Fruity Pebbles, and
that's right. Yeah.
Only saying Yabba Dabba. He never once actually said Miz's name or John Cena's name, which to me was kind of odd.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say he was going to whip any ass. He didn't say anything really like that as far as that intense promo that I was kind of expecting. It was more just sports entertainment. I'm the host. I'm going to have fun here.
Well, that's what he basically – yeah, that was basically what he did there, is he came out and he acted like, as I said, like a host of the Oscars or the Grand – did a hosting thing where he just kind of came out and hyped up the crowd and then went away.
Yeah, exactly. So, leading into that match.
So we did do that. And we saw The Rock, once more in the show, and then, toward the end, which we'll get to. But didn't see as much Rock as I thought we were going to.
No, we really
didn't.
I thought we'd see him all over the backstage.
Yeah, but
we didn't. And they cut off they had advertised right before going on the air in the preview show that also in this card, don't forget the U.S. champion versus Daniel Bryan, the champion of the United States, Sheamus versus Daniel Bryan.
Yes.
If you don't know, they actually took that match off the show. It was a lumberjack match. It was a dark match, turned quickly into a battle royal, which I guess the Great Khali won, because he's buys.
Yes. Well, yeah. I mean, but no, he's not buys because it was nobody saw it, right?
Nobody saw it. So.
It's true. And he threw it, I guess, Sheamus to win the goddamn thing.
Anyway,
so then our next match that we can move on to was Randy Orton against CM Punk.
Yes.
And, Long video package.
You got this wrong. It's Rey Mysterio, Cody Rhodes.
Oh, it was Rey. Okay, Rey and Cody.
You're two matches ahead. That's how memorable this thing was, folks.
Okay, well, I'm actually just going off a list on WWE.com.
So don't count on that. I'll go off a list of somebody who's a reputable website here.
Oh, okay.
Cody Rhodes actually pitting. Rey Mysterio, let's talk. The build-up was well done. I thought the feud, of course, they had laid the angle down from since Royal Rumble. You know, I enjoyed
January,
Cody Rhodes was pretty over with that gimmick, relatively speaking, tonight for how the crowd was pumping. He came out in a hoodie covering his face, and he had the mask. And,
I really did like that.
Yeah, the way he came out, he had new music, dark music, you know, of a dark character.
That Titantron was really cool with the newspaper.
The newspaper articles, yeah, his face had been smashed and all this stuff. And very, very cool opening. Rey Mysterio always brings something original and new for Mania, and this year he came out in a Captain America thing.
Yeah, we had a little bit
it's pretty damn cool.
Or a brainstorming session.
Yeah, we're trying to wonder what it was. Somebody said Captain America right ahead of time because we're talking about what movies are coming out. And
yeah.
That worked out perfect. And, of course, then you got the match itself was, again, probably about the same level as the one before, probably in that 2.5.
Yeah.
You smell what The Rock is cooking range. But the build had been really good. So, overall, I'm going to give it a slightly... You know, I'm going to give that one a slight thumbs up, but, nothing you're going to really be memorable. Nice to see Cody get the win, and nice to see the crowd kind of behind the Cody Rhodes character because of what they've done with
it. Well, the story in the match I thought was all right in that, Cody going after the knee brace, taking the knee brace off because that's on the 619 what hurt him, so he was taking that off, and then Ray took off Cody's mask. Because clearly there isn't anything wrong with him. So he took that mask off.
Yeah, and he used the mask when in a flying headbutt wearing Cody's mask.
That's right. And we should mention that this throughout this time, and this is where, to me, it got the most annoying, is that Colin Lawler still doing commentary for this. Arguing back and forth about, Cole talking about. And I know they're trying to do the Bobby Heenan thing with him, but... He ain't fucking Bobby Heenan, so it just it didn't work. It came off stupid. But this only Cody can wear the mask, and it's fine when Cody does it. And anyway, the match ended when Rey Mysterio was going out for a dive, and Cody whacked him with the knee brace, which he did manage to get off, and then hit the crossroads and got the pin.
Relatively clean, all things considered.
Yeah, I was gonna say relatively clean. I don't know that we have to spend too much more time on it because really it's
because we have to talk about the next part, which was the backstage segment with Snoop Dogg, please.
Oh, yes. Snoop Doggy Dogg there and doing the backstage.
Basically, they're doing a...
Teddy Long, right?
Yeah, basically, Teddy Long and Snoop Dogg did a American Idol parody of auditions. And the highlight was probably the very first guy coming up, William Regal. Great comedic timing and actually cutting a really... kind of funny, pretty good little rap, and then from there went to shit.
They had the William Regal deal.
Yeah, William Regal was good,
and then he was good. But William Regal did that already. On a Raw, I think, was Snoop Dogg the host of a Raw,
Snoop Dogg was the host of a Raw.
They did that backstage. Yeah. And anyway, and then you had Kali and Beth Phoenix doing the karaoke of Grease there.
Yeah.
And then you had Zack Ryder.
Zack Ryder, Roddy Piper came out.
And Zack Ryder, to me, got a pop, and that's who I actually had picked to win the pre-match of Battle Royal. But then, of course, Piper...
I said Yoshi Tatsu, because he won last year. And
Piper,
his gimmick.
Piper had his coconut and whacked him with it, and then...
Chris Masters and Yoshi Tatsu, Will Rock You, and Masters doing his peck deal again.
How could I forget it, really?
Yeah. Jeez. And then, of course, the punchline was, Hornswoggle
doesn't talk, and then they laughed, and Hornswoggle did this really shitty rap.
They're like, oh, he looks great, and Snoop Dogg's like, yeah, he looks great, but Teddy Long, he doesn't talk. Well, then how can he win? They left. Then he actually talked and does a rap with the Bella Twins dancing beside him.
It was shitty.
And it was shitty.
It wasn't even like, if you're going to pull the trigger on that and have him talk, at least make it. I mean, and it was clearly pre-taped, so you couldn't have actually had it been good.
No, you couldn't have.
No.
So that leads us into the match. I don't know how you forgot this. The huge match, the Core versus the 60-minute Iron Man match between the Core and the Big Show. Kofi Kingston.
Well, Kofi came out. It was Big Show, Kane, Santino, and then Kofi came out last because they hadn't officially announced it yet, and really no interview explanation other than the announcers were just sort of surprised. Oh, it's Kofi, and he's had issues with the core and Wade Barrett and the Intercontinental title and yada yada.
And the match is an 8-man tag, so of course, as usual, you would expect a long, epic match. It went 90 seconds.
Is that? Yeah, I was going to say, did it even go 90, 2 minutes?
Yeah, it went 90 seconds.
Yeah.
And the show's team won, and I don't think there was even any trumpet blowing at the end. I can't remember.
I think
because it sucked.
Yeah, it did. I'm pretty sure that Big Show and Santino did the trumpet. But anyway.
But then we got The Rock with Eve Torres talking about backstage, leading to a comedy spot that was actually pretty funny because The Rock is funny.
I did forget. We did have another Rock segment that I almost forgot. Anyway, but yes, and then he did come out and he said he was going to have a magic moment with the next person that walked around. And, of course, it was Mae Young.
Yeah, yeah. So, and then he made a bunch of old jokes about Mae Young and, you know, saying he called her Divasaurus, and she said she wants the people strudel, and he said he was, you know, she would probably want Moses's strudel.
We did call him, he said people strudel, and he said big boy.
Yeah, oh yeah, you want the big boy.
The big guy, yeah.
that was pretty funny. And like I say, The Rock is funny even in these situations. It was WWE trying to write comedy, and the WWE does a shitty job of that. They have shitty writers.
Yes.
But in this situation, The Rock elevated the material just slightly. And,
talked about Eve Torres and her friend Adam and Eve.
Adam and Eve, and that type of thing. And then you know, she turns the corner, she leaves, and The Rock's sitting there basically talking to himself, saying, hey, what could it have been anybody else? Well, the next person who turns the corner, we're going to have a magic moment. Out walks Steve Austin. They kind of just lock eyes, go, oh, you're ready to kick some ass? Yes, I'm ready to kick some ass. Shake each other's hands.
And that's right.
It was kind of cool.
It was very cool. And then to me, I thought, you know, if they're going to do a Mania match next year, that was, you know, kind of a stare down.
Yeah, it's a dream match thing because it was kind of begrudging respect was what it was, you know? But it was just cool to see the two of them together again there.
It was. And
didn't see Margaritaville, but I'm not going to complain too much.
Not
going to
complain. Okay. Well, and then we fade out. And then, so I guess are we to Randy Orton and CM Punk?
Yes, we are. Why don't you go?
And at this point, I'm gonna smell this one, smell what The Rock is cooking on this one and give it a solid 3 stars. We are going to fire Russo on the last one, are we not?
Oh, fuck. At least, actually, we could have given that last match a Fire Russo because it was a 90-second match.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Let's give that last match a Fire Russo. Yeah, I thought you meant the main event.
No. And then now we're going with Orton and Punk. And yeah, I'm solidly smelling what The Rock is cooking with that one. That's, you know, that to so far on the show, best match on the show. Not that there had been really anything to complain about. Some of the highlights to me was it was a I don't know what you want to call it, like a leg breaker. That Punk did to Orton's leg out of the corner, almost gave him a stunner. Instead of using the head, he used the leg, which I thought was really cool. But and Punk's escape of the RKO, the first
Punk's
one.
Punk's facials when he put on the Anaconda device and when he escapes it. Punk's facials were just fantastic. That elevated the match. Yeah, it's not quite good enough to give it a hell yeah. But it is a smell that The Rock is cooking. It was a solid match. Great facials.
Yeah.
Really cool spot at the finish coming off the rope. And we've seen it before, but Orton caught him and for the RKO coming off off the top.
Some of the people who were – one of the guys was watching thought it was kind of a cool spot. And then I kind of explained the Evan Bourne thing to him. He said, oh, that would have been really cool.
Yeah, that's pretty much
and,
it.
And
yeah.
that was the – to me, that was kind of the – I mean, it was a good finish, but this is the way –
It was a match that told a story, and it was a match that told the story should have.
Well,
and that he tried to punt Orton, tried to punt
Punk. Did a really
punk.
Good job rolling the ankle.
Yeah, and instead his leg gave out. And, you know, good little match, but nothing. I actually thought that was the match that was going to open because I assume you want a match. You know, I didn't think you'd open with the world title match. I thought you'd want a match that would, you know, pop the crowd to some degree and that those two would be able to do it. But,
well, you had Rock to pop the crowd.
Rock was the opener, right?
The other thing, though, too, is that this is, and we talked about it at the time, is when you give away that Evan Bourne finish on a free Raw because someone comes up with it and says, that'd be a really cool idea. Again, I thought it did take away from the finish of this one with just a straight clothesline into an RKO. Right? I mean, it just, you know.
Yeah. Okay, well, then we went backstage for some more great WWE writing.
As
it was the number one fan for John Cena was meeting The Rock.
Please
talk about
Gene Okerlund.
Well, Gene Okerlund.
Please.
Sure.
With The Rock. And
that part was good. And then?
Well, and then turn around, Pee Wee Herman was there. John Cena's number one fan. They went, "You can't see me."
Yeah.
Right? Pee-wee was good in his role. Rock, you know, saying this is what you look like, and then, you know,
basically turned him into a Team Bring It fan from a John Cena fan.
Yeah.
They had Gene Okerlund come out in the comedy spot dressed on the purple John Cena gear and you know, looking like an idiot.
That hot garbage off.
Yeah. But the thing is, I hated this. I thought it wasn't funny. I thought it was stupid. I thought it was lame. I thought it was unnecessary. I thought it was below the Rock. But we were watching with some very, very casual fans, and they all enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So I have to say, it's not a fail.
And I thought that Pee-wee did a good job in his role with his playing off the Rock and whatnot, and Rock did a good job. You know, when Pee-wee's doing the extra elbow touches and the stuff instead of the punch, he says, "Stop that." And then he just walked away.
Yeah, it was all right.
I thought the interaction was good.
Of course, then the Hall of Fame come out.
Right, okay.
The highlight, I suppose, is Drew Carey getting booed like a motherfucker.
Yes, that was pretty good. And he just looked like he kind of stood there.
It was a very, very quick thing, though. They just kind of ran through it very quickly. So
they did. Well,
it was amazing. It was a four-hour show. They cut off one match, and yet, I mean, this pay-per-view almost went off the air late.
Yeah, it was like... And that's what stuff like this being cut. Here when it went, 10:56 Eastern when it went off pretty close to 56:57 anyway. But my cable company, of course, had my pay-per-view cut off.
Sonny looked really good.
Orton match, or no, it was during the Cody Rhodes match. Sonny did look good, yes. But I mean, and we're going to see that all. We're in Canada, so we're going to see it Tuesday.
Yeah.
People in the U.S. are going to see it tomorrow, and anybody that wants to download it, I guess, can see it tomorrow as well. So. Yeah.
All right, so that brings up Jerry Lawler versus Michael Cole. And maybe the highlight of the match was the beginning. Now, they brought out Jim Ross and Booker T.
Yes.
And I thought Jim Ross, that makes sense. And Booker T seemed strange to me at the time, but it made sense, I suppose, later on.
Well, no, it's also something, though, that Michael Cole had been berating Booker, on SmackDown and really, really riding him and grinding his gears. So
not as much as Wade Keller has been.
No, that's true. That's true.
Yeah,
Michael Cole had a little bit modicum of respect, but no, and he's got his opinion. But
it sucks, but he's got it.
Michael Cole, he'd really been riding Booker since Booker came on, so it did make sense if you've been watching SmackDown that Booker want to be out there to see it.
They kind of cut. Bronx was getting a nice little pop. They cut his music kind of early. Then I hear some boos. I don't understand why, and then I see that Cole is walking out. Cole doesn't have any music. Cole cut a nice heel promo, kind of went after everybody. I mean, he's just such an annoying, grating character, which is what he's supposed to be.
Yes.
So you would think that would really get the crowd into the match. Austin came out to a massive pop, then the King came out, luckily with his old music, great, great robe. And yet,
it was one of his old school robes. That's I believe, correct me if I remember, but that was the style that he would wear during the Andy Kaufman stuff. That was what he would wear.
Yeah, that style. Yeah. This one was new, though, because it was
It was shinier. It was new, but same style. It was a black and red as well.
Yeah, really good. But he came out after Austin got this massive pop. He got almost no crowd reaction. And that kind of continued for the entire match, unfortunately. Plodding match. I'm going to give this a Cena sucks this match. The build-up was good. I'd give the build-up a hell yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But even a vanilla midget. I mean, it was right up there. But, plodding match. So the match itself is a Cena sucks.
Well, and I think that... the unfortunate part, I mean, he had Jack Swagger come out with his own entrance, and then Austin came out in the ATV. And
He was doing his push-ups, and he had this look on his face as Austin came out during his push-up, like of, oh my God, Steve Austin's here, I'm going to get my ass kicked. It was great. The highlights were the entrances until Lawler came out.
No Grandmaster, no JBL.
No, I was surprised by those things.
But it... you did have it.
And Cole, we got to mention what he was wearing.
I was just about to say, Cole came out in a nice orange singlet, said Team Cole, so that has got to be a rib on Team Taz. With the orange.
And the headgear, amateur style headgear as well, that was orange.
That's right.
And Cole
has
not in great
74
shape.
Tattoos.
Cole, who's not in good shape and a geek, has all these tattoos. It just seemed strange. But, slow plotting match. But the right guy won. And, Swagger got his stunner. you know.
Well, Swagger tried to throw in the towel.
Actually, the right guy didn't win, but we'll get into that in a second.
Swagger tried to throw in the towel, and Austin wouldn't let him. And then that's when Austin stunned him. And then what happened?
Austin
then,
was great in this. Austin,
oh, when he,
they had to bleep Austin for saying fuck. You could still read his lips at least twice.
Because Cole pushed at him, and he goes, "You try to fuck with me?
Yeah,
you're trying to fuck with me?
Yeah, exactly." And you could, and then many other times we're reading his lips, and he dropped like 70 F-bombs in this match. It was just great. He was having a good time. He was smiling and laughing.
Well,
at the end, what happens is Cole gets in an ankle. The ankle lock gets put on Cole by after the fist drop. You know, he gets pinned, and he lifts him up before the count of three. Austin's like, "You're gonna beat him up some more?" You know, which is what the crowd want to see. Then Lawler puts the ankle lock on him, or ankle lock on him, because the pile driver was unfortunately banned still.
Much to the dismay of that guy sitting in the front row that kept doing the sign for it.
Yeah, exactly. And he put that on. And here's maybe probably the highlight of the match. He's sitting there screaming like a little baby Cole is, and just tapping out like a motherfucker. And Austin comes up and goes, "Do you tap?
Do you give up?"
And he asked him like three times, really slowly, while he's tapping mad in front of him.
and then to ring the bell, he goes, "Ring the fucking son of a bitch."
Yeah.
And that's
another one.
That was
another
great.
F-bomb. He dropped even more than The Rock, who dropped a few.
Yes, he did.
And The Rock, by the way, was going to fuck up John Cena coming into this.
Yeah, I'm going to fuck him up.
That's, if you haven't seen that YouTube video of somebody asking, Brian Fritz had an interview with a little mini press conference with The Rock. He was there and recorded it and put it up on YouTube. And somebody asked him, "What do you think of John Cena's comments?" And The Rock says, "I'm going to fuck him up." And he kind of laughs and goes, "I just brought some class to this event, didn't I?"
Yeah.
It was really great. So in comes Booker T. And they're drinking beer and they're celebrating.
And then he does the spin-a-rooney.
Yeah, and the crowd pops and...
Not as much as the Rumble, but the crowd pops, and then he gets a beer, and Austin stuns him, complete with spit.
He took spit one of the great spunners, because he had a mouthful of beer. He gets kicked in the belly as he jumps, kind of rolling backwards. It flies in the air like Triple H could only hope to do.
Yeah,
it was pretty.
And then Jack Swagger recovers, picks up Michael Cole, and carries him up the ramp,
like you would carry your bride, over, you know, on your honeymoon.
Like Jordan Steele,
you know,
would carry
both
Elizabeth.
Of them are sort of crying, especially, you know, Cole's face is great.
Yeah.
I hope those two stay together. I think they're good act together.
I think so too. But then we hear ba ba bing, ba ba bing. And Josh Matthews goes up and reads the email from the general manager that says that since Austin interfered, that...
Overstepped his boundaries.
That Lawler was disqualified, and that Cole is the winner. And Kane kept going, "What?" And he said, "Well, Cole, you didn't win, Jerry." And, of course, that means that they had to drag the messenger in, Josh Matthews, and he took a stunner.
Yeah.
And then they just...
Which left us with JR and King to call the rest of the matches for the evening, which... You know, we were hoping it would be great. Probably wasn't as great as we had hoped, but still better.
Yeah, we'll kind of get to that. To me, it didn't light my world on fire.
One of the things that got me was I had always assumed that Cole was going to end up being the general manager, but he's on the stage still being carried by Swagger. He doesn't have a phone or anything. He doesn't have any way to email or communicate or anything. So it doesn't seem to me like he now is the general manager or the GM, the non-host GM. But,
I think you're reading too much.
I probably am because, you know, I'm talking about logic.
Well, you're talking about something that might make, a little bit of sense, might probably be good, and I said we'll get there in the overall thoughts, with Mania here. But let's go. So we had that match. The next match up is Ain't No Grave. Is that we on? Is that the next match? What we thought going in would be the match of the night, what turned out to be the match of the night, unfortunately, what was...
I'm going to start with the opening. We had heard that maybe Triple H was coming out to...
Metallica.
Metallica, Something Else Matters. He didn't come out to that, but he did
nothing
come out.
Matters.
Or Nothing Else Matters, yeah. But he did come out... They kind of had this cool opening where a bunch of guys with these shields were covering them up, and when they walked away... It was a guy who looked like Triple H. Maybe he may not, but a guy with basically... I don't think it was, but it's just basically like a King of Kings type outfit, but instead of instead he had like a Skeletor mask on. It looked really, really cool.
Probably Chavo.
You know what? He was too big. He was too big. But it could have been other than that, yeah. And it looked really, really cool. Then the lights go out, and then Triple H is standing there,
it's probably
and he makes
Chris
his way.
But
actually, that would not surprise me.
But anyway, so then the C parted there, and because and keeping with the theme from Chicago at WrestleMania 22, when Hunter came down from the ceiling as He-Man, here Skeletor arrived, and then the lights went out. And it was really weird because the gong hit a couple times, right?
Yeah.
And then these shields come, and you're going like, what the hell? And then it's nobody's music that we recognize. And then we'd heard that Hunter was going to have, you know, Metallica, and I don't know if that was like a ripoff or what that was. And then the shields are there, Skeletor comes, the lights go off, and then the lights come back on, and it's Hunter, and it's time to play the game, it's all about the game, and he does his thing. But it was too quick for whoever Skeletor was to be Hunter.
I don't think it was a lot to take off, to be honest with you. It was just kind of a role.
But it was like lights off, lights on.
I don't think it was him, but either way, and then Taker comes out, you know. To the Johnny Cash theme, we get the match, goes a half hour, and
that was really cool though. With the I should mention with Alberto Del Rio as well, we're coming out in the car through the driveway.
The Titantron type deal that they had out there at Mania tonight was really, really fantastic. Huge, and they had a lot of cool shit on it. So.
Well, and Taker was one of them with the house, right? And yeah. He was kind of out of the house again, so
yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's almost like a 3D effect the way they did some of these things. So
yeah.
Now, the match, like I say, goes a half hour. I think definitely match of the night. I thought I've been a little critical of the match. Of the build up as far as Hunter was concerned, but the Monday night, the overall build, I would give a excellence of execution. The match itself, I think so, because when that was over, that last moment with Sean and all that stuff, I wanted to see it, and that's what it's about. Or at least a vanilla midget, just one level below, maybe. It was,
yeah.
It was really, really good. And the match itself, I also think, was probably a vanilla midget. I mean, I think this was a 4¼-star match. I'll give that a vanilla midget. I think it was really,
just,
really good.
I was just below that. I was 3.5, 3¾.
So you give it a hell yeah.
Love it. I'm in hell yeah mode for that. And the only thing that brought it up to me for hell yeah, because you know, it started off slow. These guys are doing the WWE match, right?
Yes,
these
absolutely.
Are two guys that are,
and they're two older guys, right?
Yeah.
And two guys are beat up.
They were doing it. And the part that brought it up to me was when Hunter did the tombstone.
For a split moment, you thought he was going to win.
Well, because the story they started to play was when Hunter was like last year when Taker's going stay down, he's yelling at Sean stay down. Hunter's doing that to Taker.
Yeah, why won't you die? Just
and,
stay down.
And then Taker grabs the him around the neck and Hunter no-sells it.
Yeah.
And throws him down again, and then Taker gets back up and does sort of gets in the boxer stance, you know, like, come on, like the guy that's never going to stop fighting.
Yeah.
And then Hunter does the throat slash of Taker. Taker goes after him, and Hunter does the tombstone to them, and that got, you know,
yeah, kind of reversed the tombstone into that, and I'm expecting Taker to reverse it back.
Yeah.
Instead, he hits it with it. I'm like, holy shit, you know, at this point, they've sold the fact that Taker's being beat up to the point where he can barely stand. And then he hits this devastating, really good-looking tombstone.
Yeah.
And you're like, I think he might have him. Could he? Like, for a half second, they actually made me believe Taker.
And they had the crowd, too.
Absolutely.
The crowd, you could see the look on the people's faces in the crowd. And they're going, holy shit.
For a lot of the match, what they're doing is, I mean, it's building up. A lot of the action is slow because the action doesn't matter at the beginning because it's not a match that's about athleticism or even wrestling holds. It was a match that's about the story. They're playing off of the story from the previous 2 years. So this is almost like a third chapter in some ways. So it had that advantage, plus the disadvantage, though, of being compared to those. But it had that advantage of being able to take those storylines and put twists on them. They also they were able to I think a lot of it, everybody in the room was going, well, when's Sean going to show up? So I think that hurt the crowd a little bit and hurt the match for a long time a little bit, as well as when the hell is the sledgehammer coming out, right?
Yeah.
This is a no-holds-barred match. The sledgehammer came out after he hits the tombstone. So, you started to think earlier in that, it started to feel like the match was starting to wind down. So you were at the point where you're like, any one of these spots could be the final spot. So when Triple H hit that big spot, you lost it for a moment, the believability that Taker wasn't going to lose his streak.
Chair shot to the head?
Yeah, there was an actual chair shot to the head, you know, moved his band. I think he got his hands up. I'm not sure he 100% blocked it. I mean, it looked like he might have got caught, actually. Another thing that's really interesting is basically the story of the match then is, like you say, it's playing off the Sean thing, where Sean is like, Sean brought everything, but he's just not good enough. Well, in this one, it's like, Taker basically is not as good as Triple H, but Triple H just made one mistake. It's kind of like
caught.
The Chael Sonnen Anderson Silva fight. Chael Sonnen in the UFC simply destroyed Anderson Silva, the seemingly unbeatable champion, for four rounds and 4 minutes essentially. Makes a mistake, got caught in a triangle, and had to quit. And this is basically the idea was Taker was better. He was beating him. He was younger. But in his frustration, he made a mistake.
Yeah.
But he's the one who walked out of the ring.
Also,
whereas Taker didn't.
Both on steroids.
Yeah, Taker Triple H looked very well.
Yes, he
that's
did.
All we can say. Yeah, yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, what do you have to say about
that?
So
then, yeah, and then, I mean, you had to finish, Triple H gets caught, struggles. The nice part of the story with the sledgehammer right there, he's trying to grab the sledgehammer, Hunter taps.
Yeah, he's put in the Hell's Gate, the Gogo Plata Hell's Gate move, and he's in it for a long time. He's reaching for the sledgehammer, you're like, he's going to hit him with the sledgehammer, get out. Then he doesn't. Maybe he was in it for a little bit too long, maybe they milked it a little too long.
And hey, but, in recorded WrestleMania history, Hunter has never tapped.
That's true, because the one time that's not true, he tapped to Cena.
Oh, good.
You'd have to see in Mania 21.
Yeah, okay. Well, anyway, so Hunter tapped, and in the story of the match, Hunter got up first. Undertaker finally got up.
Yeah.
They sold it like a mofo. They got him on the stretcher there.
Yeah, I mean, basically, Hunter, Triple H, both of them take forever to get up. Triple H is leaving the ring. Undertaker comes in shortly after him. I'm thinking they're going to walk out together. It's like a respect thing. And Taker just basically does a face flop.
He does a flare flop there.
Basically onto the cement. And Hunter starts walking towards him. And the ref's like, no, you get the hell out of here. You get the hell out of there. He leaves. And then they put him, like you say, on a gurney. And they
Well, it was like a football, like an extra long football John Deere tractor trailer. There
exactly. And they basically rode him out of there. And I guess that way he's still undefeated. But it brings up a couple things. If you keep him off for an entire year, which is possible, it takes him off a camera. But it also leaves, hey, this guy can he be as good as he was last year? And last year he was barely good enough. And is he ever going to recover from this? So it builds drama for a rematch, or basically anybody. But I think
I was
going to
say anybody. And then you've got
and if Hunter's still around and Taker isn't, then Hunter's the one looking strong. He doesn't come across badly at all in this match. So, I mean,
And going on, to load him up on the gurney there, you had Dean Malenko, you had Erwin R. Scheister there just to get revenge from there.
You thought it was Drew Perry for a second.
I thought it was to get revenge for the Royal Rumble 94 match.
Yeah.
With the debut, I believe, of the Druids. I just thought that there was
good.
I thought that's what they were
going to
build towards next year.
The post-match stuff, all of it was really good. A little bit of a slow-paced match, like I say, a story match. Took a little while to get going, but that's right up there. That's the highlight of the show, no question. And it had to be, because up until that point, it had been a terrible show.
We had really expected that it was going to be the highlight of the show, but actually, I'll disagree. I think there was another highlight of the show, but I think that match we'd expected to be the best match on the show, and it was.
Yeah.
It's just I had expected pretty much everything to be, up a level from where it was.
This was up until then, it really didn't, and the crowd wasn't that hot, and the production was fantastic, but the energy didn't seem to be there, the matches weren't there, it just didn't feel like a Mania. It felt like a pay-per-view right before Mania, in many ways, much of the show. But this leads us into the next bit. Fairly pleasant surprise.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they come out, and really, it's a very slow Magic at the Times listed there. I don't know. It wasn't a very long match. It didn't need to be a very long match.
I don't have the times on my notes here, but it was a quick match. But
majority of the match actually was Trish Stratus and Michelle McCool, we'd sort of speculated, thought it might have been Morrison and Ziggler well,
yeah,
that would do the
Trish Stratus, Michelle McCool, and John Morrison versus Dolph Ziggler with Vicky.
No.
John Morrison, yeah, Trish Stratus,
yes.
Snooki.
Yeah, you didn't say Snooki. You said Trish Stratus, Michelle McCool.
Oh, did I?
John
sorry.
Morrison,
okay, okay.
Because you're a
yes,
fuck.
Yeah. That'd be why, because I'm a fuck, not because I'm a human being who made a mistake.
No.
But, yeah,
I'm
so.
Glad it's big of you to admit that.
Yeah, yeah. So,
But,
please
no,
go ahead against
Trish Stratus, Snooki, and John Morrison, who we both commented didn't look as ripped as he
well,
normally
he didn't.
Does.
He didn't, and then he was barely in the match.
Yeah, so we thought
he
maybe
had one move.
There.
He
who
hit
knows?
A nice move, but it was one move.
Ziggler and Lay Cool, you know, with Vicky Guerrero as the opponents, and as I said, most of it was Trish and Michelle McCool going in there. The real creepy kind of spot was when Snooki licked Trish's hand so she could do the slap. I thought that was kind of weird. I don't know if you want someone from New Jersey licking your hand, but
yeah, no, I would.
Let alone
Snooki. If you can get your hand tested after that,
Snooki got booed.
Snooki definitely.
When she
they
got
saved
tagged
her,
in for
they
the
saved
big
her
spot
for the entrance. They saved her for the entrance to come out last.
Yeah,
and you know she got obviously she was really really booed, but the entire match was kind of just build up to her spot, which is the end when she does the pin. She did two moves, surprisingly athletic for. You know, what you would expect. And kind of the crowd wasn't as against her by the
yeah,
end.
Yeah, she did the springboard. I was going to say elbow, but it was more of a
butt
springboard
splash.
Butt splash there,
yeah.
Which the crowd booed when she got the hot tag to come in. And then, but when she did the butt splash and then just did a springboard, like a mini splash, kind of
yeah.
Didn't get a lot of elevation on
yeah,
that splash,
she
that's
pins
all right.
McCool.
She spins McCool and...
I don't think Morrison actually legally and Ziggler were ever actually legally in the
match. I don't think they were either. But anyway,
yeah,
it did Starship Pain. Yeah,
Starship Pain outside the ring, basically.
But the crowd popped for the finish when she did it, and you know seemed okay. You know, kind of I don't know, it redeemed her a little bit there.
So
the crowd was all fine with her for doing her big move there.
You had to
end,
admit it was like you know I.
Everybody was like, "Holy shit!" Here,
yeah,
you
expected so little of her. So
yeah. And I mean, I expected a Fez press or something, right?
Yeah,
is her big spot. So that's your TMZ moment that'll go on, which is great and fine, and she did a good job. So
yeah, she showed up this time,
whereas
the build was pretty shitty, especially because she was drunk at the tapings for the preview for the what do you call it, the build for the Mania here.
Oh yeah,
you know she showed up certainly in condition to perform. She's not Matt Hardy. Or Jeff Hardy. Or
well,
either,
no,
either
but
Hardy.
Jeff Hardy showed up in condition to perform.
Sorry, she didn't
he
get
just got
all,
stoned and drunk
yeah.
as the show
so
was going on.
So she did
on.
Not do that as the
she,
point.
She
though.
Didn't do that,
yeah.
No. Mae Young might have, but she didn't.
She didn't.
No.
Yes. Okay, so that,
right. So that was
her
buffer match, right?
That was the buffer match between the heavy Triple H taker.
And we get
angle,
to,
and
remember we commented that as the buffer match ended, there was 20 minutes left. Roughly. If we were saying quarter two, we were figuring quarter two, and we figured there's about 20 minutes left.
Yeah, we thought they'd go off the air about quarter two.
Yeah.
And
20 minutes left, we figured.
And then they
so
hit a really long, really long, well, not promo, ring entrance, I guess, for The Miz, but it was awesome. It was
no
pun
intended.
Yeah, no, but it was. It was basically Miz, basically everything in his career where you would have to laugh at him. His real world stuff, his tough enough stuff, his SmackDown host era, and then highlighted in between this him currently kicking ass.
Well,
so
not even
and
that.
Basically, and there was a song. What who was it?
It was a timeline, is what it was, and it was a PD.
But in between,
song.
It would show him kicking ass currently.
And well, no, because
it did.
Well, at the end, towards the end, they did. But what they did is they showed.
No, they did that through the whole thing. Yeah.
Well, okay, fine, whatever. I don't fucking care because it's a fucking Miz fucking promo.
But it was fantastic.
It was great. But they what they did is they showed him as like in the real world, and then they showed they not show
well,
the,
showed
the irresistible force,
well.
Meaning the immovable object.
Yeah, they
and
did
then
that.
And then they showed him as younger, and then they showed the Austin era. Beginning, and then they showed, you know, they did have WWF clips
yeah.
throughout
yeah.
it to sort of span the progression.
This is why I always wanted to do this.
Well, and
I may have come from this other place where you laugh at me, but this is why I always wanted
to do
this.
Where I got that, though, is
him sitting behind a counter, basically, his back to a bunch of televisions showing this clip. These clips is basically the.
But what I was looking at there is they were showing him in the real world, okay, and the Austin era was beginning.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was that to me was the timeline part of it. Then they showed him, later on in the real world, and then they had The Rock. You know, they had him sort of progressing along with wrestling.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, with entertainment.
With entertainment.
And then they showed him. They didn't have a lot of Miz and Morrison.
No, they really
in there.
Didn't,
I didn't
no.
see the fedora, the hat there. I
no,
was expecting.
No, they pretty much ignored that.
They did actually, and they really just went straight to him winning Money in the Bank and cashing it in on
the
on
song.
Orton.
I can't remember who was the song. Is that who was the? Do you remember?
It was I think it was a P. Diddy song.
Basically, you're going to hate me, but I don't care because I'm not stopping.
Yeah, hate
anyway,
me, but I don't care. Yeah, that's what it was.
Basically,
yeah.
What it was, and
you can
and
hate me,
really,
but I don't
really
care.
Worked. Really fantastic. So
we all commented that it should have been his music.
Yeah, I wish that was his music from now on. It was really good. Unfortunately, then he kind of stepped out into the ring. They had this these white balloons saying awesome.
It was Diddy. That was stupid.
And and he steps through it, and that was lame. But up until then, that was fantastic. And then, of course, we had Awesome Kong and the choir singing for John Cena. Please, I would love to hear your opinion on this.
On the choir?
On just Cena's opening.
Oh, my God. Well, the first thing was we were wondering how Awesome Kong was going to get on the show.
Yeah.
And there she was.
There she was, singing
to The Rock.
Yeah. Yeah, I assumed it was her.
Oh, my God. And then he went
it was
in.
It's an
and
African America choir, basically, a church choir type
It was
deal.
A church choir, yeah. I don't know. They had, all of a sudden, they were singing about God, and then all of a sudden, Cena had, it was, he had a DMX song. And it was it sounded like I don't even know who was doing the voiceover for it, but again talking about God and Jesus. I don't know. No, it wasn't Cena. No, it sounded like an African American fellow, but
I thought it was Cena's voice.
There was a
Dusty Rhodes.
Very much a Thunderbolt Patterson, maybe.
Oh, okay.
But there was a very. Religious. I don't know if it was even like a quote from the Bible or something.
Yeah, you'd be asking the wrong people, I'm afraid.
And
on that.
And talking about, you know, and it kind of prayed over to what he did on Monday when him and Iraq, you know, only the good Lord to judge us. And I'm thinking, like, is that where we're heading to now? Is it you're going to be a religious, preacher? But
well, then kind of towards the end of that,
D-Von
then the crowd was, that'd be a great way for D-Von to come back because Bubba's getting a push and D-Von's not on TV, I believe,
Well, I believe he's teaming with Tommy Dreamer in that fast-paced action tag team. But anyway, oh, my God, it's just, I can't... That was just the weirdest entrance. Like and then they were singing his music, were they not?
Yeah, something like that. They were kind of singing, something you can't see me or this and that. So he comes out, booed more than the Miz. Miz was booed. And, Cena really booed.
And that
creates a problem.
And at this point, it's like 22.
Yeah.
It's like 20.
These openings took forever. So now you're like, it's going to be a 5-minute match because The Rock's got to come out.
Yeah.
Instead, it went about 10.
It went about 10, and it ended up being a double count out.
The crowd was not into it because the crowd does not want to cheer Cena, and they've been told not to cheer the Miz. The Miz isn't somebody you really cheer for because the crowd really seemed disinterested in him. By the way, Alex Riley was out there with him.
In full gear.
Did really just about nothing, but he had dressed to Russell. For some reason, the crowd would not. They didn't react because the only person they wanted to see The Rock beat the shit out of both of them, but they didn't want to see either one of these guys win a match. And as far as the quality of a match in the ring, in the ring, it's probably a Cena sucks, but double count out. Fire Russo fucking moment for sure.
Oh, I mean, it was all of a sudden,
it's
and everybody,
WrestleMania.
Everybody's going like, "What the fuck?" And then, of course, then you get if you smell what The Rock is cooking, and The Rock comes down, and again,
and The Rock drops an F-bomb on the way down.
He goes, "Yeah, we ain't gonna fucking go. It's not gonna fucking go like that, or something."
Yeah,
and
it's not gonna fucking go out like that.
And then, So that happens, fine. And then I'm thinking, okay, well, the Rock, I mean, I'm looking at this now. Is it, you know,
it's now 10-2.
It's 10-2, and I'm thinking, okay, the Rock's really just got to get down there and go get to fucking business here. Instead, he walks around the ring a little bit and
cuts
and then,
a promo.
Well, no, then immediately the chime, the iTunes chime comes on for the Raw General Manager. So then the Rock opens it up, and of course he reads it like Michael Cole.
Yeah,
and
I quote all that stuff.
And I quote, and then he goes, blah, 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 I think, and then he pauses and says it doesn't matter what you think and throw. I mean, a good line.
He smashes the thing,
and then he says this is going to come back because no disqualification, no holds barred, no count out, da-da-da-da-da. And amazingly, Cena and Miz are, like, running back into the ring at this point.
Okay, but here's one of the things that, Miz was almost back in the ring
Cena's running.
Here's one of the things I want to say about this count-out. Basically, Cena took, if this is a 10-minute match, let's say The Miz basically beats the shit out of Cena for the first 8 minutes.
Yeah.
And then they get outside the ring, and Cena hits a really nice-looking running clothesline, The Miz out of the barrier. Then he goes back, and he runs and does this jumping clothesline. He seems fine. He's beating the shit out of him. He's got all this energy, but he can't get up from it. For some reason, that make no sense. It just looked... It's like, why can't you get up? You were just beating the shit out of him. You were fine 2 seconds ago, and he didn't hit you with anything. And he didn't hit you with anything true. I mean, they both hit their finishers on each other, I suppose, and kicked out. But nothing. It wasn't. Didn't feel like a physical match. So now you have this count out. Plus, you're wondering, considering it wasn't a no-holds-barred match in the first place, why is his strategy to beat the shit out of him outside the ring like that? Anyways, it the whole thing just felt really contrived. And, then, of course, we got this... The Rock coming out, he starts the matchup. Miz is on his way back in. This only goes another couple seconds. Sorry, Addy, please talk for a second. I just got to...
You're looking at some things here. But, I just think that so we get the chime, and the Rock comes in and says it's all no holds barred, and they come running in the ring, and, like, nothing happened. And then, of course, the Rock is right there to give Cena the Rock Bottom.
Yeah, Cena starts kicking his ass. You're like, oh, it's just going to lead quickly to Cena winning the match. But instead, Cena turns around, gets the Rock Bottom, and gets pinned by The Miz... 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, and there you go. And then that's...
And the music is playing now. Now it's 8:56. And I'm going, okay, so it's... it's like 4 minutes before the top of the hour now. And I'm sitting there going, I guess it's over, but The Miz's music is playing, The Rock's running out, but he's staring at The Miz, and I still haven't got The Miz and Rock going, and I'm like, they're running short on time. What the hell's going on now? So, of course, The Rock goes back in, gives him a spine buster and the people's elbow.
And the people's elbow.
And then it goes out with Miz in the middle of the ring. John Cena knocked out outside.
Yeah, he wasn't even in the ring at that point, no.
Yeah, he's outside.
And The Rock
Miz
on the turnbuckle.
In the middle, and The Rock on the turnbuckle with his hand raised. And I'm going, I don't know what this is supposed to lead me feeling or what this is supposed to build to or what.
Yeah, it was fucking strange is what it was. It was the strangest fucking end to WrestleMania, I think, ever.
I think this is stranger than Hogan running in.
Well, because when Hogan ran in and won the title at WrestleMania 9, Hogan ran in and won the title. And so you just knew, okay, well, then now Yokozuna is going to have his rematch clause, and you're going to have Hogan and Yokozuna fighting. And at that point, plan or not plan, depending on who you want to believe, was for Brett and Hogan.
At SummerSlam, yeah.
At the SummerSlam. But
I don't think they can call it that. Slam is a wrestling world. So that's why, isn't the new name Summerfest? Wasn't it already announced by that guy during the goods?
It could very well be.
The Summerfest. So the Summerfest is supposed to be Hogan.
So it's supposed to be
Hogan. That was a strange ending,
but then you at least had some answers there. Like, okay, Hogan just the champion.
Sid, Ultimate Warrior, Papa Shango. Yeah, that was a strange one.
That was weird too, but that was also a fuck up there. So before we continue getting overall thoughts, I have to read Hacksaw Jim Duggan's tweet.
Jim Duggan knows how to tweet.
Hacksaw Jim Duggan has tweeted, "Well, it's over. Time to go back to drinking with Repo Man at the men's shelter." Ho!
That's fucking great. That's fantastic.
He trades the Hall of Fame suit for magic beans.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Nice.
You gotta love that.
Awesome. Yeah, anyway. No, it was.
That was more entertaining than WrestleMania.
Yeah, absolutely. The overall show with that last match, I'm going to give a Fire Russo. Overall, I'm going to give the show a Cena Sucks.
Well, yeah, let's do it out of 10 here. Out of 10, what would you give WrestleMania?
3.5.
Yeah, I was going to say 3. I was going to say 3.
Yeah.
That's,
I mean, they had that one thing that I can hang my hat on that I really enjoy that. I enjoy it more looking back on it. But in this end, I just don't know. Like, I don't know how this builds to Cena. Because Rock doesn't come across as a good guy in this whole thing either. So,
well, but he's The Rock, so
he's The Rock, but still, you got Cena. I don't.
Yeah, but did The Rock ever come across like a good guy?
I mean, there's a
no
good. Okay, I should put it this way: he didn't come across likable even at the end.
Well, did Rock ever come across?
Yes, Rock came across likable.
What? No.
Yes, he fucking did. He came across likable when he's talking to Mae Young backstage. Are you kidding me?
Well, yeah, okay.
He doesn't come across likable at the end here. Cena doesn't come across. You don't care about Cena. You don't care. One of the things is the Mania main event has ended. Miz is still champion. That's a fucking fail. You don't care about the Miz still. Plus, he's not a draw in any way.
That is interesting that they chose to keep the title on.
Yeah, you don't have in any way a rematch that I believe between Cena and Miz that anybody cares about.
But it's Extreme Rules next.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. Mania is almost building to Raw tomorrow and to the next show. Mania is not settling something. I don't know. I don't see how you don't have The Rock wrestle at Extreme Rules. That's a waste. Or do you? No, you don't.
Why not?
Because it's Extreme Rules.
Yeah, but that's precisely maybe why you do it then.
So you can get 180,000 buys instead of 110?
No, I don't think that's gonna. No,
this is it, that you don't do that. But
yeah,
I just
okay.
Don't,
well, so you do.
I felt
Let's, okay.
like here's the thing. There was a feeling at the end of Raw, like, oh my God, that was strange. There was physical confrontation between all three of them, and Cena pulled kind of this heel move. And at the end, you're kind of going, you know what? I don't know what happened, but I want to see the result. I want to see the ending of this.
Yeah,
at the end of this, I'm going, okay, I didn't see a result. I didn't see an ending. I expected it, so I don't care as much next time.
Very much like WrestleMania 13.
Yeah.
You know, where there weren't as many, two or three lingering questions. There wasn't the finality on everything.
Nothing settled here, and because this is the show I pay to have things settled, because this is the expensive WrestleMania show.
Well, I guess you bought
show.
The pizza.
Yeah, I put in my fucking share, buddy. So, I don't know. I mean, The Rock's on tomorrow night, and I'm wondering what they do, but I'm deflated. I'm deflated.
Yeah, and this to me, and I was just sort of sitting there back and thinking that now we're sitting at what do we have? It's been of the. I'll go back to the last four shows that I've purchased of WWE, which are the first, or coincidentally, or maybe not so coincidentally, are the four big shows.
Yeah.
SummerSlam, Survivor Series, Royal Rumble, and now WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And of the last four, I didn't come off deflated at the Royal Rumble.
No.
I enjoyed the Royal Rumble. There was the returns. There was the actual Royal Rumble match itself that went. And I think that's probably all that saved it, if I can. And CM Punk costing Randy Orton the title was good, too. But, now, you talk about Superman Cena beating the Nexus. I was deflated. You talk about Free or Fired, and then he's back, the next day I'm deflated.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're talking about WrestleMania and
when you have the WrestleMania that's the return of The Rock and we're deflated?
Well,
maybe he raised expectations too high, but Jesus, this is just not, like I say, I don't feel like going into this tomorrow. It's like it was good to not know where you were going at the end of Raw, because there was an event where I was supposed to have things settled. To not know where things are going at the end of Mania has me going.
Well, I look, and the only things I've been I can say that I was satisfied with were the Cody Rhodes win and Snooki's performance. And those are probably those are the two things that I can take away.
The Triple H.
I was expecting a lot more out of them.
Really?
I was. That was. To have a 3.5-star match out of them, I was expecting more.
Okay, so if this gets a Cena sucks overall the show, it's not quite a. But when the main event of Mania gets a Fire Russo, not good. And well, what are you going to do tomorrow? What do you expect, or what would you do, and what do you expect for Raw tomorrow?
You know, honestly, this is one of those situations where I don't know what to expect. Yeah. And what this really shows me, and this is the part that I'd sort of teased that I was going to get to earlier when we're talking about our overall thoughts on the show, is that what this shows me is that the people that they have doing the show now, the people that are, I guess, creatively, if you want to call it that, writing. We'll call them writers because they sure as fucking creative. The writers of the shows nowadays are fucking morons.
Elaborate, please.
When you have a show that is, as we talked about, has the return of The Rock, has Steve Austin on it, has Undertaker and Triple H, you have Shawn Michaels there. You had Roddy Piper there.
Shawn Michaels never came out.
You have JR, back, and what a non-fucking story that turned out to be.
I didn't even know it really wasn't that good.
Well, yeah, but again, I remember when people were giving Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler, some heat in around the same time that sort of that Muhammad Hassan and such were coming in, that they were just, they'd focus in on how they'd lost it. Well, no, it's just the show was shit.
Yeah.
And when you call shit, then you sound like shit, to a certain degree. And that's a lot what tonight was, is that they didn't have anything really to call.
No.
And I think that, the fact that that was a non-story. So I just kind of look at the fact that you had all these guys that were once great and still are great, but you just... You don't know how to utilize them. You don't know how to take advantage of them. And rather than asking them or letting them do something creatively themselves, you told them. And that comes across fucking crystal clear here, that they weren't consulted or part of the process. They were just cogs in the wheel and told what to do.
Well, that was obvious when you're backstage with The Rock.
Yeah, the people have no fucking clue.
Yeah. I mean, even things like I was happy to see Edge retain over Del Rio and this and that, and I'm going, that's good. And then I got the moment with the car where I'm going, I don't care about this on Mania right now. This is a SmackDown segment. I do hope that I could see them. I hope they have something like Christian, hey, I beat Del Rio. I didn't turn my back on you. Reward me with a title match, and Edge not wanting to fight his friend. And that leading to maybe, that's my hope, is that leads to something that will have my interest. That's the only thing that coming out of this that I feel like could have my interest. I don't feel like anything else has my interest.
Yeah, and even then it happens.
And even then I'm hoping for them to go in that direction. No fucking guarantee. No, well, not at all. But,
I mean, even if they do head in that direction, they're going to be doing it on Friday Night SmackDown, which is a show I very rarely get to see anyway.
Yeah, so, it's Friday night.
Yeah, and it's I don't know. It is deflated is probably the best word to use.
So, yeah, like I said, what do you expect, or what would you do, both, going in for Rock?
You're going to get a Miz promo, obviously, talking about how he's great. You're going to get Cena wanting a fucking rematch. I just think you're going to get...
Cena's going to want a rematch, or Cena going to want The Rock?
You're going to get more of the same. You're going to get more of the same bullshit.
Yeah.
And that's what it is, because, you talk about you don't have Rock wrestle on Backlash, or Extreme Rules, rather, and we're looking at that, because I remember it's Extreme Rules, because when we saw the commercial, we thought it was actually a Nick Hogan promo.
Yeah.
With all the car crashing and such. But
yeah.
I just think that you do maybe want to strike while the iron's hot.
It was a Ric Flair promo, because there was nobody shooting up.
No. But, I mean, you talk about... Extreme Rules. Well, who gives a fuck? So it's the difference between 180 and 110,000. Well, at SummerSlam, it's going to be the difference of 420 versus 350, right? You're not...
The difference between 350 and 600.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it does.
I don't think... Then you got to strike while the iron's hot in some cases. But
absence makes the heart grow fonder. So, I mean... Making people wait sometimes is good. Maybe the people will forget. I actually think coming off this show, people are going to be pissed off. They're going to be disappointed. They're going to talk shit about it. I think if you people are going to be like, I'm not going to fucking pay for that again after you fucked me over on this match tonight.
Whereas
you give them a few months to forget and maybe have some interesting TV from The Rock leading into SummerSlam, it means a lot more.
It could. And I think, but again, I thought The Rock was supposed to start filming his next movie in June.
If they're planning to use The Rock, though, they've hurt him coming out of this. because they're just not a good
Yeah, and that's just it. And that's again, I get back to the fact that if you had all these factors in play and you still
didn't even cut that promo that was, I would say he didn't even cut a promo 50% as good as his first night back, or even probably 20% as good as his first night back.
Yeah.
You know, and even that, like the share, his opening was entertaining and some of his backstage stuff was all right, but not what The Rock is capable of.
Well, and again, when you talk about what The Rock is capable of, you have to have someone to play off of. And I said, I thought Pee Wee Herman played off all right. And I was just expecting more. You know, like, he didn't do anything. I mean,
Pee Wee Herman didn't play off him as well as the Hurricane did.
He talked to Eve Torres.
Yeah.
That's the only person on the current roster that interacted with The Rock at WrestleMania.
But you know what I mean? The Hurricane had better interaction, funnier interaction
with
him.
Yeah, but he was probably drunk.
Christian had better, funnier interaction with him.
Yes.
You know,
I agree, but I'm just saying that. But that's what you. Nobody on the current roster interacted with
The Rock.
What would
you do
then?
Okay, forget about what you expect. I don't know what you expect either.
Yeah,
that's the thing. I can't even come up with the to do because you've left me deflated, and you haven't built something for. You didn't build something for tomorrow, and yet you didn't end anything here. So that leaves nothing.
Well, what you did when you deflated me is you took the I hope the fantasy booker type person right out of me. Is it
yeah.
You know I'll tune in, I'll see what they got in store tomorrow, but I'm not with bated breath. I mean, it's like, okay, well let's see what you got now. You better fucking pull something out of your ass, or it's gonna be I'm gonna have lots of free time on my hands Monday all summer.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what? And I guess we're probably – I guess that's about it for really.
That's WrestleMania. It's in the books. It's Deflatomania. And fuck, I don't know. We'll see. We'll be back.
We'll be back. It'll probably be about 2 weeks. Addy's going on vacation, which gives me a vacation from him. Thank God.
Yes. And, well, you can call me Adam.
Yeah. So, you know, we're going to take a little vacation. We'd like to hear from you in the meantime. WeTalkWrestling@AIM.com. You can hit us up on Twitter. I'm going to be working some Facebook group. I'm going to try to get that up going a little bit here. We would like to hear. We played a game called, this tit-or-tat, this or that. And this or that, we basically put two wrestlers out there, and Addy told us which one he would pick between the two of them. And we'd like to hear you. Please send me an email of any of those folks that you'd like to compare, or anybody we did compare, and give your argument for who it would be. And if there's anybody who's really, really good, we'll read it on the air. What else, Addy? Anything else you want to hit here?
I think that's about it. You know,
we'll be back with more interviews in the future. And please tell us who you liked, who you'd like to see back. We'll have our celebrity guests, as we call them, not interviews. We'll have a couple new games. There's a couple new games I've been working on. I'll debut for you, Addy. Who Said It and Gold Rush are two new games coming. And, we'll be back. We'll have a lot of fun, a lot of laughs, and, hopefully you all join us. OUG.
Yeah, 2 weeks. So, in the meantime and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling.
Go to the archives. Listen to our great old shows.
Yes. All right. Good night, folks.